Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Good morning again and welcome. My guest today, Lisa Ierley, graduated from Montana State University Billings with a B.S. in education and an M.S. degree from the University of Wisconsin-Superior. Now retired after working as a teacher and school media specialist, Lisa has resurrected her writing career. She is the author of the historical mystery novel, Obedient Unto Death, the first book in an upcoming series featuring a reluctant sleuth, Sabina, who discovers her God-given talent for solving murders. Her stories unite her love of mystery novels with a thirst for studying the Bible, Christian philosophy, history, and ancient cultures. Good morning, Lisa. Welcome to Step Into the Light.
Thank you very much for having me, Patty.
Lisa, I'm so excited to talk to you. I thoroughly enjoyed your book. Oh, my goodness. It kept me up more than one night, let me tell you.
Thank you very much.
that's always a compliment. I heard a lady one time at a writer's conference say, the most wonderful thing a reader can say to you is to walk up and say, I'm so mad at you. I spent all night getting up reading your book, and I have to work in the morning.
Yes. Well, it is wonderful to hear that you enjoyed the story.
Definitely, yes. So, Lisa, would you share with us what childhood experiences influenced your interest in writing? Have you been writing since you were a young kid in school? Were you the type that drew your stories on the wall with crayon? And did you love the essay assignments in school, or did writing come to you later on in life?
You know, I enjoyed writing as a child, but I don't remember having any particular drive to be a writer. That came after I was married and had kids, and basically I was reading really good stories, and then I was reading not so good stories, and it was kind of like, wow, I think I could write one better than this. So that kind of started the journey, but that was 40 years ago, and the book is just getting published, so it was a slow introduction, I guess, to the world of writing for my part.
Well, Lisa, you're to be commended, because I always had an interest in writing from the time I was a young person, but then I grew up and went into a career that, you know, back in the day, you were kind of expected to be a nurse or a teacher or a secretary, basically. I went for the nursing thing and then raised kids and had my family and all that. And I am probably considerably older than you and still don't have my book out there. So you are to be commended for accomplishing that goal.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it took 10 years from starting it to getting it published. So one does have to have a little bit of stick-to-itiveness, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. What gave you the idea for your book, Obedient Unto Death? I loved that title as soon as I saw it.
Well, I guess I have always been fascinated with how faith plays out in novels. That definitely was from childhood, even reading Catherine Marshall's Christie or Taylor Caldwell's, you know, books back then was very inspiring. And, you know, up to the present day kind of Da Vinci Code, where I was like, hey, wait a minute, you know, what is motivating these people and why are they doing this? And I just kind of took that along with my love of just mysteries, which I have loved since a child. And then the era came about because after a lot of Bible studies with the New Testament, you know, they kind of end when the apostles die. I just started having a lot more questions. You know, Paul talks about the struggles of the church, and It was like, how did those manifest after the apostles weren't there? And mm-hmm. before the church became an accepted, organized religion, there was just this real, you know, vague area in there. And so I started doing more research with that. And I, you know, I guess it just kind of gelled together with, this is a really important period in the history of the church. And there are lots and lots of secular books that take place during this period, talking about the Roman Empire or Middle East or Egypt. And I just kind of thought, I think I would like to have one of those only from a Christian perspective. That was kind of where I started pulling together different pieces and parts from research and the Bible and different things to get the story.
You did a fantastic job. It always amazes me. I enjoy reading historical fiction, but I usually like to read 18th century Western type stuff, if you will. But I enjoy biblical fiction as well. And when I think about the amount of research that you must have to undertake to accomplish a book like this, Lisa, it just amazes me. You must spend literally hours and hours and hours doing this.
Yeah, you do. You do. And that's where the 10 years kind of came in as well. You know, you'd be riding along and it would be a meal scene. And it's like, okay, well, they sat down and you know, picked up a fork. Well, you see pictures of them reclining at every meal. You know, who reclined? Did everybody recline? Did anybody have tables? Did forks even exist? Which they did not at the time. But
that's what I was, yeah.
So you're researching all the time, just constantly, as you're going through that. Unless, of course, you know, maybe you're a scholar of that era, which I wasn't. I would like to think that I've gained something in that vein after all this time. But yeah, it luckily I love research, so it was not a chore. A lot of times I had to pull myself away from the research and say, okay, enough. You've got what you need. Now get back to the story. So yeah, you have, it's a balancing act.
When I think about every aspect of daily life in these stories, Lisa, not only was there customs and that kind of thing, but what kind of clothing did they wear? And did they wear certain clothing on certain days or at certain times of day? And how did they communicate with each other? How did a man and a woman relate that is so different from today? And, oh my goodness, the list just goes on and on. And you just did such a wonderful job of putting us right there.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it was a struggle. And Sabina herself, who is the, you know, the protagonist, the main sleuth, I really had to make her believable in an era where that wouldn't have been believable. So I spent an awful lot of time trying to shore her up. Obviously, it's a work of fiction, so people are willing to take that leap of, you know, leap of faith into the book initially. But yeah, everything you said has to be at least plausibly correct. So again, it takes time.
Yep, most definitely. Well, would you give us an overview of your novel? Give us enough of a taste, Lisa, to where people want to read the story, but of course don't give away everything. I'm sure you have something like that in mind, a summary of some kind that you would like to share with us today.
Yeah, the back of the book, you know, kind of gives just a little bit. The setting is the fledgling Christian church, and it's taking place in Ephesus, Turkey, which, again, the majority of the New Testament was written outside of the Holy Land. So a lot of, you know, whether it's Greece or Turkey, i.e. Asia Minor, what they called it back then, that was really fun to write about that. So anyway, it's third largest city in the Roman Empire at the time, after Rome, Alexandria, and there was Ephesus. So
fascinating, fascinating history of that city and the church that started there. So she is a member of a covert Christian house church. And again, some Christians were more out in the open than others, but persecution was alive and well during that time. So this church is meeting in a home, and one of its members, who is a young scribe, dies at the worship service through kind of different bunch of events. Sabina's father, who is not Christian and is a magistrate for the Roman government, ends up coming in, discovering that it was a murder, and Sabina's bishop of the church is arrested for the murder. So the rest of the book is basically her dealing with trying to find the real murderer, because she does not believe her bishop was capable of such a thing, and going out of her comfort zone because, again, she has been protected by her father, a Roman magistrate, and they have some money. So she's kind of living in a sheltered bubble, and she has to step out of that if she is going to find the murderer and, in essence, save her bishop's life. It brings her into some pretty interesting situations, oh, I hope interesting, with quite a variety of characters as she works her way through discovering and solving the murder. She ends up encountering a counterfeiter. We have some underground Gnostic religious things, and just always the tension with her father, who is basically anti-Christian. So she really has got a lot to juggle as she goes through the clues that gets to the end of the story.
And you did a fine job, because you, like I mentioned earlier, I kept those pages turning late into the night. So you did a wonderful job, Lisa, of putting Sabina in these different situations and heightening up the tension, and I thought the story was well developed, and I very much enjoyed it.
I appreciate that a lot.
This is your first novel, right?
It is. It's my debut book. Yes.
Wow. So I'll tell you what, you sure hit the market running with it.
It was a book that I think I would have liked to have read if it had been out there. So, and I didn't find books that were like this. There's a lot of biblical fiction out there, but I kind of like just a little bit more of the hard-boiled mystery, for lack of a better word,
mm-hmm.
and combining that with, again, the Christian worldview just seemed to work really well.
If you were to recommend this book to someone who had an issue with blank, what would that issue be that you would say, I really think this book will help you? What kind of message are you trying to convey with your work?
I think there's multiple messages in this book. Sabina herself is having to struggle with a couple of different issues: the cultural expectations of the time, her relationship with God and what she feels he's calling her to do. And she battles with that a lot, and doesn't always get the end that she wants or expects. So I don't think that's really any different than the average person that's living life, you know, that we have our plan and God has his. And I guess that was one of the messages, that his plan, he has a reason for it. He has a reason for us. We have a purpose. And I guess that was one of the messages. The other one is just, again, kind of a daily struggle with just constantly one's faith and one's beliefs being assaulted, for lack of a better word, by a book you pick up to read, something on the computer that you listen to, a song, you know, that you might hear, that literally gets you saying, okay, why do I believe this? What's going, you know, on in my head that I have this belief system, this faith in a God? I find the answers when I go back to God's word and dig into the Bible or hear a good sermon. And it's just like so reaffirming that, you know, he is the one way. He is the truth. And I wanted this story to be faith affirming, not faith tearing down. So I guess the message in there is God's there. You don't always see him if you're not looking. The story as she goes through all these different things, hopefully people can see God's, you know, hand in this story and translate it to them, you know, that it may not be super obvious at the time, but God is working in our lives. At least that was the message of book one. Book two's got a little different slant, but always hopefully faith-affirming.
Some of the things that I saw you just mentioned, but one of the big ones for me was biblical truth. Another one was Sabina and her having to assert herself in many different ways, because at first she wasn't real sure of herself, but over time I felt like she developed a lot more, you mentioned self-esteem, and her relationship with God became much stronger. Of course, the faith message in there is extremely strong, and the obedience message, as reflected in the title, is very strong as well. And the fact that sometimes, yes, we are put in danger. Sometimes we do have to face things that are really, really scary to stand up for our faith, but that God is always there, and even if things don't go our way, he's always going to come through in the end.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So hopefully that is a very joyous message for a lot of people.
Yes. So I wanted you to share your perspective, and then I thought as a reader for our listeners that I would share mine.
Sounds like we're in sync.
We'll take a break here where I remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light with host Patty Sheen here on Blog Talk Radio. My guest is author Lisa Eyerly, author of the historical mystery novel Obedience Unto Death. If you would like to listen to this episode again, or hopefully refer it to friends and family, it is available on archive. The most current 5 episodes can be found on the homepage at pattysheen.com, spelled PattySheen.com. The Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page will give you access to all the episodes we've aired to date. Under each episode is a more information tab that provides links to guest websites, social media, and other resource information. Let's return to our interview.
Lisa, here on Step Into the Light, I interview people who are either leading others out of a dark place through their writing, as you do, their ministry, their other creative endeavors, but also sometimes our guests talk about a dark or difficult time that they themselves have experienced that was a struggle for them, and that can relate to something that you dealt with your book. Maybe, you know, things didn't go as smoothly as you would hope when you were writing it or publishing it or whatever, and some of my guests share things that are a little bit more personal. It's entirely up to you what you're most comfortable sharing with us today.
I think a little bit about what we just talked about, that there is a faith factor when you decide to do anything like this. I knew that it was going to be something that took away from family time, took away from friend time, took away from private, just, it was a big struggle at the beginning to know if God wanted me to do this. It was probably one of the biggest decisions I've ever made. And I know that a lot of people who have written books or want to write books are like, you know, why would that be such a hard decision? You know, you just get in there and you start writing it. But, you know, when I look back on 10 years of time, now obviously it wasn't solid, but there were a lot of times where I just questioned, questioned if I was doing the right thing, if this was really something he wanted me to do. And he gave signposts, and that was wonderful. I met other wonderful Christian writers who encouraged me. I was able to go to conferences and get better at writing. I mean, there were a lot of steps along the path that I think he was directing me on, but I don't know if that's inspiring for anybody, but it was a leap of faith. It definitely was. And I have been blessed by it. I have been blessed.
I see it as inspiring because it relates not only to writing, but I think it relates to any endeavor that a person attempts to pursue in their life, whether it be starting a family, starting a business, starting a new job, going back to school. You know, you have to take that leap of faith in order to take that first step. And who was it that said when you're walking down the dark staircase, you just trust that the next step is going to be there or something like that? It sounds like in your writing journey that was the very thing you did. And there were times when you probably hesitated and said, oh, wait a minute, maybe I ought to run back upstairs and go hide.
But
you didn't.
Absolutely. And then, you know, you start thinking too, okay, I'm retired. Granted gave me time, but it also made me think about time, you know, and it's just like, okay, this is something young people do. This is something you maybe go to college for when you're in your 20s, you know. Do you really start this in the last third of your life? So, yeah, there were a lot of considerations that went into that, and I guess we'll see where it takes me. But like I said, it has been a blessing so far.
I would be willing to guess that it's going to take you to some very good places, Lisa. And I was just going to share with you one of the ladies that I met at a conference. I've never met her personally. I think probably 80% of the people that I know are online through writers, organizations and things. But this one lady, talk about starting things later in life. She is 96 years old. She was one of our keynote speakers at a virtual conference in 2021, and she wrote 3 books during the pandemic and published them.
Mm. Okay, that's an inspiration. Wow.
Yes, so don't ever feel like God's done with you, no matter how old you get. And I'm sure I would be willing to guess you are considerably younger than I. So.
Well, I hope I've got a few more books in me yet. So that's the goal.
Yes, definitely. Well, I want to talk to you a minute about what is next for you. But first of all, I would like to throw this question out to you that maybe we can discuss it. How do you believe events that occurred during the era that you wrote about compared to the events of today?
You know, that was probably the easiest part of putting this book together, because I would be reading things in a history book and then I would flip on the news or something would come up on my computer and it was almost identical. Just whether it was, and I don't necessarily want to say persecution, but those early Christians were really, really working hard to maintain their faith in just a totally different pagan world view. And as I'm, you know, reading about this and what they were having, the religions and the emperor worship and the different temples and the different philosophies that were coming through, they were actually a very, at least in that era, there were a lot of really thoughtful, intelligent. Cicero was before that, but the logic and the philosophies that were based on Aristotle and Plato, and it was just pretty mind-blowing to read that, you know, that was happening over 2,000 years ago, and then open the front pages and see the same kind of logic, the same sort of philosophical expressions coming out in the first book. there is a Gnostic undercurrent going, and it is not that different than a lot of the, I know New Age is probably not the word, but just that same kind of spirituality that's really making a huge comeback in our world. It was just like, it was like I didn't have to go back 2,000 years to write those particular challenges that were being faced by those believers, because they're here. There's nothing new under the sun, I guess, because they are definitely in the world that we're living in now. So that wasn't even necessarily a fiction part. It was just, just put a toga on it and there you go. Same. So similar to today.
Trying not to give anything away, when I first started reading the book and there was the Sabina and the church members meeting in private, the first thought that came to my mind was, maybe not in my lifetime, but maybe so. I can see this happening in our future, as sad as that is. I could see people actually having to meet in private to practice their faith. And I thought, wow. You know, that parallel was like stunning to me.
Yeah.
Just wondering, how would I react? I mean, you know, that question really comes to mind. How would I react if I know that if I attend a church service, I have a chance of being arrested or shot or my family being imprisoned or whatever? I mean, boy, it makes you really stop and start thinking about this scary stuff. And not today, not in June of 2022 are we dealing with this. But I would not be surprised to learn that it is in our future somewhere.
Yeah.
So that's,
and then
that's
the hard,
your book is so important.
Well, thank you. The hard thing with that then too is, how do you make that an opportunity and not cave to it, you know?
Right.
And yeah, exactly. Like I said, the circumstances were very much what's happening today. How people respond to them is going to be the big question.
The interesting thing. Absolutely. And a pastor that we used to have at our church made the comment once that the more pressure that is put on us as Christians,
the stronger we're going to have to be.
I mean, you're either going to stand up for your faith or you're not. You're going to have to make a choice eventually. At this point, you can kind of be on the fence, but there's going to come a day when you can't straddle that fence anymore. You're either going to be on this side or that side. So,
exactly. That's very much, I think, what Sabina was. She was able to coast up until this point. And then it was, okay, you know, you're being called. Are you going to accept it or not? So, yeah, I'm sure that it's everybody's future at some level of commitment. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. And again, not wanting to give away too much of the book, I did want to comment. I loved toward the end when the whole issue of the deception came up. And I'm not going to say any more about that because I want people to read it. I don't want to give it away. But, oh, you handled that so beautifully.
That is kind of the culmination. That's a little fun.
Absolutely.
There, so, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I just thoroughly enjoyed that book, Lisa. So tell us, you mentioned that you do have another book in your head, on your computer somewhere, in progress.
My publishers, Cross River Media, have committed to a trilogy. So.
Nice.
Yeah, so book two is almost, the first draft is almost done. I just have got a couple more chapters to do. Then we are talking months of rewriting as I go back in and basically make sure names agree, and as I change them sometimes throughout the story and tie up loose ends and that kind of thing. So they are hoping that I have all that done and they can publish a year from when this one was published. So This one came out the end of March of this year, so the new one should hopefully come out next March if all goes as planned. My big plan is to try again to get back to Turkey. To get to Turkey, I shouldn't say back. I have tried to get there twice. First time on a cruise and the stop was canceled, and second time was supposed to be this June and I got COVID. So God plan C will hopefully be coming to fruition in the future, because that is just a trip that I feel like I am just called to get there. I have done so much research, maps and travel videos and, you know, just the history books and looking at pictures, that I honestly think I could walk through the city blindfolded right now, but I would like to see it without a blindfold and get there. So that's what I'm hoping. Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll be praying for you that comes about, Lisa. I'm sure that would be a fantastic trip for you. Oh, my goodness. So I hope the Lord has that in mind for you. Isn't it interesting that with all the scripture that was apparently written in Turkey, that it's not a Christian country?
Yeah, yes. Lots and lots of Christian, like Ephesus itself has a shrine to Mary. They believe that the Apostle John was buried there. You know, just the history is so thick and so rich that, yeah, what a great place to have a novel take place.
Absolutely, just, no doubt about that. Yeah. Oh my goodness, to think that you wrote all this without having been there first, that's pretty good.
There are some very good videos out there. I actually have one that I send out to people who subscribe to my newsletter, and it is like a view coming in over a reimagined Ephesus. So it's ruins. The city is now ruins, but this project rebuilt it, you know, on a computer or whatever, and you can literally go through the harbor, the agora, see the temples, see the fountains. I mean, it's amazing. So even though I haven't been there, there are a lot of fabulous resources out there that really help me visualize and get that into the books for my readers too, so that they do have a authentic sense of what it was at the time.
Yeah, it is amazing what we've got out there in the way of research. There's no better time, people say, to be writing than right now when we have all these options for research and even for submitting manuscripts and all that.
Yeah, and I would never trade my computer for a typewriter again. Never.
Yeah, I did a lot of writing on a typewriter, I'll tell you, and a lot of full papers on an electric typewriter, and yep, then that computer age came in and it changed everything for sure. Well, Lisa, this has been a pleasure talking with you today. Is there anything else you'd like to share that I didn't think to ask you and you're thinking, oh, gee, I wish Patty had asked me about this and she didn't?
No, I think you were very thorough, and I guess I'd like to say thank you again for having me on your show. That was a very, very pleasant surprise to get your request. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
I have a connection with Cross River Media. They will often refer their new authors to me, send me the media kit, and then they'll send me a copy of the book for possible interview of the author. I'm most appreciative for that. They've sent me some great books and the interviews have been wonderful.
They've sent me great stuff. So I appreciate them and I appreciate you wanting to do this.
My pleasure.
So God bless you, Lisa, and may you continue to be blessed with your work. And thank you so much again.
Listeners, in closing, we all encounter difficult times in our lives. We encourage you during those times to look to the light, knowing that when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Thank you so much for listening today. I'd like to remind you to go to pattysheene.com. That's spelled PATTISHENE.com. If you'd like to listen to this show again, please refer it to friends and family. You'll find the link to this episode and the last four episodes on my homepage, and the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page takes you to all the episodes we have aired to date, and under each link is a more information tab. Click on that. You'll find further information about each guest, links to their website, social media connections, and any other resources. I invite you to like my Facebook page, which is Step Into the Light. I'm also on Twitter and LinkedIn and Pinterest. I haven't used Pinterest for quite a while, but I do have an account there, all under Patty Sheen. Love to have you connect with me. Until next time, God bless you.